This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. And we're going to take a break now from the day's big story to check in on Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Searchers there are still trying to find those missing after a series of deadly tornadoes ripped through the South last week. More than 340 people are dead, but the toll is expected to rise as the rubble is cleared. NPR's Debbie Elliott has the stories of survivors who are struggling to start anew.
The sanctuary of Rosedale Baptist Church is too damaged to use, so yesterday morning the congregation gathered on the grass in folding chairs. While crews work nearby on downed power lines, Pastor Lewis Johnson delivers his sermon from a flatbed trailer.
As you huddled in your houses, and the walls came down, and the roofs caved in, and everything you own was swept away. The only reason that you sit here today in this congregation is because Almighty God Himself reached down His hand from heaven. He covered you.
The church is surrounded by destruction, and nearby residents walked over for the service. When it's over, an emotional Gloria Brown comes to the front and seeks counsel from church member Susan Gewin.
Ma'am, what? I'm here for you. God's here for you. You tell me what you want to say.
I just want to thank Him that I'm alive. My family.
Brown lives across the street in a yellow house with a huge steel beam sticking through it. Brown and her fiancé, Mark Long, were hunkered in the closet when it came crashing through the wall.
I thought first it was just a piece of wood, but I knocked on it. It's a piece of steel.
Long says it's part of an industrial dumpster that came from a salvage yard across the interstate. Like many storm survivors here in the Bible Belt, the couple believes they were saved by God's hand. A few blocks away, the tornado leveled more than 50 brick and cinder block apartments at the Rosedale Court Public Housing Project. Constance Foster and her 11-year-old granddaughter saw it coming.
We actually saw the small tornado as it was forming, the big one grab it and suck it in, and it expanded like the mouth of hell.
The apartment collapsed on top of them, and they were trapped until family members dug them out after the storm. Now, Foster is waiting in line to see a FEMA contractor who has pulled up in his pickup truck from Texas, laptop in the cab.
Who's next?
I'm Constance.
Foster tells him she's already registered by phone. He asks for an ID or even a utility bill as proof.
That I live there? I can't even tell you I can go over there and find a piece of paper with nothing on it because I've been through the rubbish and hadn't found nothing.
They walk to find her unit, but it's hard to tell which apartments are which. When she gets close to her building, she notices a bad smell in the air.
It stinks over there.
Everyone who lived here has not been accounted for.
Babies we hadn't found yet that we knew were there should be there.
In Tuscaloosa alone, more than 340 people are still missing. Tears roll down Foster's cheek as she thinks about her friends and neighbors who were killed.
My grandbaby was with me and she came out with me. Some didn't come out.
Foster wipes her face and says, 5 days of crying and wondering why are enough. Balancing on a piece of plywood in the rubble of her apartment, she spots a folded piece of paper in the debris.
Leisha, your paper from the school has our address on it.
Just the documentation she needs to apply for temporary housing aid from FEMA.
Bless you, Lord.
Debbie Elliott, NPR News, Tuscaloosa, Alabama.